We're continuing in the book of Proverbs, and we are going to be looking at chapter 3 this morning and reading the first 12 verses. You'll find Proverbs chapter 3 on page 637. Page 637. Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart. For they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Peter. So as we continue our little series in Proverbs, just a reminder that we won't actually be reading any Proverbs. They don't start until chapter 10. And what we're currently doing is just looking at the first 8 chapters, which introduce this book with a series of speeches, some from a royal father figure to his son, the others from a female figure, which I'm calling Lady Wisdom. And last week we met Lady Wisdom for the first time, touting for business, advertising her wares on the streets. Today we're back to the father advising his son. And it's a chance for us to deal with one of the issues that you come up against with Proverbs that I touched on briefly last week. The issue that it's all too simple. Proverbs says, get wisdom, like it's some wonder product that you should buy that will revolutionise your life. But we all know that there's no one quick fix for life's problems. And Proverbs in particular can sound as if that's what it's selling. There's a popular website called Life Hacker that I have to confess I visit from time to time. It's full of articles with very intriguing titles that are designed to make you want to click and read. Titles like 10 items to help you better organize your fridge, or 6 ways to use psychology to sell your house. Unfortunately, my experience is the articles are never really that much use. Out of the 10 items, maybe one is worth it. And out of the 6 psychological techniques, well, 5 are just common sense anyway. So is Proverbs the biblical equivalent of Life Hacker? Well, today's passage has something to say about that. The royal father, let's call him Solomon, is well aware of the fact that humans can become what he would call wise in their own eyes. That we can somehow end up thinking that we're using wisdom and think we're making the right decision, when actually we've deceived ourselves and become the fool. And this is where the concept of the fear of the Lord comes in. We've already heard Solomon tell us that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. It's a very interesting line. It tells us that we are being truly wise when we are honouring and humbling ourselves before God, who has a vision of good and evil that might be inconvenient for me sometimes, but which is actually much more true than any sense I might have of what's right and wrong. What it doesn't mean is being afraid of God. It's not fear in that sense. It's respect, awe, knowing our place, that sort of thing. Wisdom, real wisdom, is to recognize that I don't get to determine what is good and evil for myself. I need to fall in line with how the universe works, which is actually according to God's definition of good and evil. To fear the Lord is to shun evil. Let me just give an example. It's wise to be prudent with your money and ensure that you have some reserves to pay for your future needs, which, as we get older, might be to adapt our home when our mobility declines or paying for care. But if we were to beg, borrow and steal and hoard our money against the day we need it, that wisdom has overbalanced into selfishness. Solomon would then say to you, no, you're not actually being wise. You're a fool. And it's because you didn't begin with the fear of the Lord. Trusting in the provision of a loving God means that I can still afford to be generous. I can still afford to be kind to others. I don't need every penny I can scrape together for myself. Let me go back to the idea of the tree, the knowledge of good and evil. Back in the Garden of Eden, when Satan tempted the humans to eat that tree themselves, we can see the problem, can't we? Who decides what is good and what is evil? If God does, then fine. But if we start doing it for ourselves, then we will make evil things good. We just do. It's just going to happen. Humans aren't capable of holding that line, of getting it right every time. We deceive ourselves. We make other idols more important than God himself. We cut corners. Sometimes on purpose. More often, I think, without even realizing it. And that's the depiction of Pharaoh in the Exodus story, where it's become good in his eyes, and that is the phrase that's used, to kill the babies of immigrants in order to protect his own people. It's the human inclination to maximize pleasure and minimize pain for me and mine. And if that's at the expense of you and yours, well, that's too bad, but at least I made sure that I was all right. So the key advice in this passage is to be found in verses 5 to 7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. Can you see the point here? Don't lean on your understanding, because it'll let you down. In all your ways, acknowledge him. That's the way to keep your path straight. Often in life, you will see a way that seems right to you. You make decisions that seem sensible to you. But you should always just be suspicious. What is my motive here? Always check yourself against what God has told us is right and wrong. Now, obviously, God hasn't given us instructions about everything. The Bible would be huge if he had, and out of date. There's a lot of ambiguity in life, and this is another wisdom thing, isn't it? If you have internalized what the fear of the Lord is in a very clear scenario, it begins to give you a true north to navigate by in other areas. There's a skill to be developed in discerning when I ought to be suspicious of myself and turn instead to the wisdom of others to learn what the right way is. And what is Proverbs apart from the collection of the wisdom of other people to guide us when we're not sure what to do ourselves? So the fear of the Lord is what we could call the moral logic of wisdom. It's recognizing that there might be all sorts of clever choices that I could make, but if they go against my moral compass, then in the end, they become stupid and foolish. So in conclusion, what am I saying today? I suppose I'm saying Proverbs isn't as daft as you think. You need to be intelligent in applying what it says. Just as you can find Proverbs that say the complete opposite, and yet obviously are both true, only in different circumstances. You know, like, many hands make light work, but too many cooks spoil the broth. Well, which one's true? Depends, doesn't it? There is truth to be found in both of them, but not if they're applied blindly. We need a principle to guide us. We need a moral compass. We need humility and the fear of the Lord. And with that always in mind, then Proverbs really does contain treasures to be savored, to be remembered and applied when the time is right. Amen.